You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Isaac and Rebekah had twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Isaac favored Esau, the firstborn son, and Rebekah favored Jacob. God had promised Rebekah that her twin sons would become two nations and that the elder son would serve the younger son. In today's lesson, Jacob is now grown and have 12 sons and a daughter. Will Jacob repeat the habit of his father Isaac and have a favorite son? Will the older brothers serve the younger favorite son? I'm glad you asked. We will find out in today's lesson. Welcome, everyone, to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Jesus in Genesis podcast. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. Please tell a friend, and please share this podcast. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. We want you to study, to show yourself approved by God. We want you to always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks about the hope that is within you. We want you to know what you believe, and we want you to know why you believe it. Our ministry broadcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to return of Christ in the book of Revelation. And you can subscribe and access all of our previous podcasts, broadcasts, and Bible lessons on our Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Our Bible lesson podcasts are also available on your favorite podcast stations. Let's start with a few scriptures. John 5, verses 39 and verses 46 and 47. The scriptures testify about me. If you believe Moses, you would believe me because Moses wrote about me. If you don't believe the writings of Moses, how will you believe my words? Let me give you one more scripture. Luke 24, verses 27 and then verses 44 and 45. Then beginning with Moses, we're talking now about the resurrected Jesus Christ. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And he said unto them, these are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me, which was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, by the way, that's the entire Old Testament. Everything that was written about me concerning me must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. So what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus Christ stated that the Old Testament are his words. Jesus Christ stated that the Old Testament was written about him. In our Jesus in Genesis series, we're studying the entire book of Genesis, chapter by chapter, and pointing out the work of Jesus Christ and the implications of the work of Jesus Christ in our COVID-19 pandemic world we live in today. I have news for you. God's word is just as relevant, and God's word is just as needed today as it has ever been. God's word will not come back void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our minds so that we too might understand the scriptures. So let's get started. And we've titled today's lesson, Genesis 36 and 37, Joseph, the firstborn son. And let me give you some background information to help us understand the narrative in Genesis 36 surrounding Esau and his descendants. In Genesis 17, God promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations and that kings would come from his descendants. In Genesis 25, verses 12 through 18, it gives details on Abraham's firstborn son, Ishmael. In Genesis 25, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, had a difficult pregnancy, and she inquired of the Lord why this was happening. The Lord told her that two nations were in her womb, and that the elder would serve the younger. Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob was the second born. Esau knew about the promises God made to Abraham that the Messiah would come through his bloodline and that Abraham would become the father of many nations. However, Esau despised his birthright and sold it to Jacob for some stew. In fact, let's go there. Hebrews 12, 16 and 17 describes Esau as a sexually immoral and godless person. I hope you hear me right. Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17 describes Esau as a sexually immoral and godless person who sold his birthright for a single meal. Genesis 36 details the descendants of Esau, Jacob's firstborn son. Esau moved away from Canaan from his brother Jacob. They had so many possessions that they could not live together. Esau became the father of the nation of Edom. They lived in the mountains of Seir and had many clans and kings long before Israel had kings. The Edomites became the enemies of Israel and attacked them many, many times. So let's continue in Genesis 37, verses 1 and 2. Jacob settled in Canaan, where his father Isaac had lived as an alien. Joseph was Jacob's 11th son, but was the firstborn son of his beloved wife, Rachel. He was 17 years old, and he brought back a bad report about his shepherd brothers to his father Jacob. So now let's continue in verses 3 and 4. Jacob loved Joseph more than any other of his children because he was the son of his old age. He made for him a special robe, and Joseph's brothers hated him. You can imagine how they felt. Imagine how you would feel if your father had 12 kids, but the youngest kid was like the one that he loved the most, and he had special clothes for him, and the other children had to just wear regular, ordinary clothes, while this kid with the golden spoon in his mouth had these specially made designer clothes. So let's continue Genesis 37, verses 5 through 8. Joseph told his brother about a dream he had where they were binding crops, and his crops stood upright, and their crops bowed down to his. They had interpreted Joseph's dream that Joseph would rule over them, and they hated him ever even more. Joseph told his father and his brothers about another dream he had where the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to him. And Jacob scolded him and said, "Shall we indeed come, I and your mother and your brothers, and bow down to the ground before you?" Jacob told Joseph to go near Shechem to check up on his brother and their flocks and bring word back to Jacob. So Joseph had the job of being an inspector and a person who would report back to daddy about what the big brothers were doing. So let's continue. Genesis 37, verses 16 through 18. So when Joseph arrived in Shechem, he was told that his brothers were in Dothan. And when his brothers saw him coming, they planned to kill him. They had blood in their eye. They had seen enough of this boy born with the golden spoon, who daddy had sent to spy on them. And this conflict between Joseph and his brothers is going to come to a head. And if you recall, in Genesis 3:15, in the Garden of Eden, God handed out his punishment to Satan for tempting Adam and Eve to sin. God stated that there would be enmity or conflict between the children of righteousness and the children of evil, and that the seed of the woman would eventually bruise the head of the serpent. We've seen this prophesied conflict carried out with Adam's sons, Cain and Abel, if you recall. And Cain killed Abel. And with Abraham's sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And Ishmael mocked Isaac and got evicted basically out of the house with his mother Hagar. Now Isaac's sons with Esau and Jacob. And now you're seeing the same conflict with Jacob's sons and their brother Joseph. So let's continue back in Genesis 37. Verses 19 and 20. His brothers were tired of hearing about his dreams. They conspired to kill him and throw him into a pit. Then they would tell Jacob that he was killed by a wild animal. So they had this conspiracy going on, and let's see how that happens. But when Reuben disagreed with the conspiracy, he told the brothers not to kill Joseph, but throw him into a pit. His intent was to rescue him later and return him back to his father, Jacob. Let's continue. Verses 23 and 24. Joseph was stripped of his robe and was thrown into an empty pit with no water. The brother saw a caravan of Ishmaelites carrying merchandise to Egypt, and Judah advises brothers not to kill Joseph. Verses 27 and 28, Judah convinced the brothers not to kill Joseph. They pulled him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. The Ishmaelites took Joseph to Egypt. Reuben returned to his brothers and saw the empty pit, and he tore his clothes in mourning. And they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. And the brothers took the bloodstained, torn robe to Jacob and told him that they had found it. Jacob recognized the robe and concluded that a wild animal had torn Joseph to pieces. So Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and mourned for Joseph for many days. Jacob had lied to and deceived his father, and now his sons had lied to and deceived him. So let's continue verses 35 and 36. So all of his sons and daughters tried to comfort Jacob, but he refused to be comforted. He said he would go down to his grave in mourning for his favorite son, Joseph. Joseph was sold in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. So I have a question for you. Where is Jesus in Genesis 36 and 37? It is nearly impossible to examine the life of Joseph in the Old Testament and not see the similarities of the events in the life of Jesus Christ. There are many types and shadows in the Old Testament that prefigure Jesus Christ. The life of Joseph gives us a clear picture of Christ in so many ways. So let's just spend a few moments and take a closer look. Joseph was the firstborn of Jacob and Rachel, his beloved, previously barren wife of whom he had to work 14 years to marry. Jesus Christ, in Colossians 1:15, is also the son and the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So Joseph was the firstborn of Jacob and Rachel, but Jesus Christ is the firstborn over all creation. Joseph was sold for silver in Genesis 37:28. Jesus Christ was sold for silver in Matthew 26:15. Joseph dreamed that the sun, the moon, and the stars would bow down to him in Genesis 37:9. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians 2. So Jesus, every knee will bow. Joseph had the dream that the sun and the moon and the stars would bow down to him. Joseph was sold as a slave in Egypt in Genesis 37:36. The baby Jesus had to escape to Egypt to escape King Herod, who wanted to kill him and all the other babies who were born to make sure he would still be king. That's Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15. They stripped Joseph of his garments in Genesis 37:23. They stripped Jesus Christ of his garments in Matthew 27:28. Joseph was loved by his father, Genesis 37:3. God said about Jesus Christ that this is my beloved son of whom I am well pleased, in Matthew 3:17. Joseph's brothers did not believe him and hated him. That's Genesis 37, verses 4 and 5. The Jews did not believe Jesus Christ, John 7:5, and they hated him in John 15:24. Joseph's brothers rejected his right to rule over them in Genesis 37:8. The Jewish leader said, "We will not have this man Jesus to rule over us." This is Luke 19:14. Joseph's brothers conspired against him in Genesis 37:23. They took counsel against Jesus Christ in Matthew 27:1. Joseph's blood was presented to his father in Genesis 37, verses 31 and 32, and Jesus Christ's blood was shed for us on the cross. Joseph had committed no crime and was falsely accused. For many have gave false testimony against Jesus, and the testimony did not agree. That's Mark 14:56. I have only mentioned the Christ-like examples of Joseph in Genesis 37. But I have news for you. There are 50 chapters in Genesis, and Joseph is one of the main figures for the remaining 13 chapters in the book of Genesis. There are many more Christ-like examples of Joseph that we will discuss in the upcoming chapters in Genesis. In today's lesson, we've seen an example of brothers turning on their brother and literally selling him out. Psalms 27:10 says, "If my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. God is making good on all of his promises. God is the same yesterday. God is the same today. God is the same tomorrow. And God is the same forever. And just like God never left Jacob and Joseph, God will never leave or forsake us, regardless of the challenges that we are facing daily. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's our lesson for today. Genesis 36 and 37, Joseph, the firstborn son. As we face the global pandemic of COVID-19 at the start of this new year, we need to remember that God is still in control. God is still on the throne. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of them that love God, for them who called according to his purpose. By the way, Romans 8:28 does not say some things work together. It does not say most things work together. It says all things work together for the good of them that love God, for them who've been called according to his purpose. All Christians have a spiritual backup. But if you're not saved, I'm offering you the spiritual covering of salvation through Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior will give you the spiritual support, the spiritual backup, and the spiritual strength needed as we face the uncertain days ahead of us in this new year. Romans 10:9-11 says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. If you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please repeat this prayer of salvation. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the grave. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I pray that you created me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life and that I will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer of salvation, welcome to the body of Christ. There are a few things you need to do now that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We would like for you to go to our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Okay, and we understand that many churches are not open and that many churches will not return to regular church services in their sanctuaries until the virus is under control. In light of this reality, here are our recommended next steps after salvation. Once again, go to our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the Salvation tab. Read the information on salvation and the next steps after salvation. Read your Bible and pray daily. Listen to church service online each Sunday. When the virus is under control and you feel that it is safe to worship in the church building again, join a church where Jesus Christ is being preached. Ask your church to assign an experienced member to mentor and disciple you, and be baptized to publicly confess the spiritual change that has taken place in your life. And if you have any questions about our recommended next steps after salvation for new believers in our COVID-19 climate that we live in today, or if you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, please send me an email at drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's D-R-B-E-N at foundationalbtm.org. Why? Because I want you to know what you believe, and I want you to know why you believe it.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
There are three ways that you can give to support the ongoing work of this ministry. Please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab and make a tax-free donation of any amount. You will be blessed and you will be a blessing to others. You can also make a Cash App donation to our ministry at Dr. Ben Pennington, or you can mail your donation to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Post Office Box 1712. That's Post Office Box 1712, Austell, Georgia 30168. But before you go, let me give you a preview of our next podcast. In our next lesson, we will discuss Genesis 38, which was centered around Judah, and Genesis 39, which was centered around Joseph. Judah was Jacob's fourth born son, and Joseph was Jacob's 11th born son. I have a few questions. Why did God kill Judah's first two sons? Why did Judah's daughter-in-law become a prostitute? Why did Judah call his prostitute daughter-in-law Tamar righteous? How did Joseph, who was sold as a slave in Egypt, obtain great favor with Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard? Why was Joseph accused of attempted rape and sent to prison? How did Joseph obtain great favor with the prison warden? Will God keep Joseph safe in prison? I'm glad you asked. We will discuss these issues and much more in our next Jesus in Genesis podcast, which we've titled Genesis 38 and 39, Judah, Joseph, and Jesus. This is Dr. Ben signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.